Classes in Baltimore County's public schools resumed today, a week after a cyber attack forced them to shut down and hackers held the system's data hostage. This is happening at schools around the country. The attacker's identity is usually unknown. They often demand hefty ransoms to unlock the computers, and the FBI says we should expect more to come. Joining us now is Tonnell Hobbs, education reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, no problem.
So this attack in Baltimore, just the most recent of many, walk us through how these hackers are operating.
So basically, when the entity finds out they're being hacked, a lot of times the hacker has already been in their system for days or weeks. So when you come in the morning and you boot up your computer and you see the warning screen that says your files have been encrypted, and at that point they've been in your system, they've probably stolen some of your data already, and it's just happening all over. It is happening, well, just all over the country.
So here come the hackers. You know, maybe someone on staff leaves open an app, or maybe they click on an email that was a phishing scam. Then what? The hackers come in, they lock up your servers until you pay a ransom, and then threaten to release sensitive data if you don't?
That's exactly it. Okay, so it used to be they would do this. They would lock up your servers. They would make life really hard for you. But now they're actually going and instilling data, and they're posting the data on their blogs.
What kind of data?
Oh, just sensitive stuff. You know, it could be social security numbers for students and staffers, date of births. It could be psychiatric reports. It could be discipline reports.
Okay, so this is going to be shocking to not only the school administrators, but to the parents who, you know, probably find out, holy cow, my kid's disciplinary records are for sale on the dark web. But then what happens? I mean, who at a school district is skilled enough to negotiate with hackers? And how are they handling the ransom demands?
Yeah, they're usually not skilled enough. And what they do is they bring in like a third party, or even if they have cyber insurance, they'll call their insurance companies, and their insurance companies will do much of the negotiation.
How much money are they paying?
You know, it used to be some years ago, it might have been $10,000 or $15,000. Now it's easy in the six figures.
Wow. So this is happening. Well, context is important, right? I mean, this is happening at a time when schools are operating with two hands tied behind their backs. They've been overwhelmed by the pandemic and their students and their staff at home learning. How vulnerable are they feeling right now? And is that part of the reason why they're being targeted?
Well, you know, they've been targeted going back a few years that I know of. But, you know, a lot of the cyber experts say it's just escalated now. It's also the timing. They realize that school districts are very reliant right now on technology and being online because of remote learning. Some school systems are just straight remote learning. So what they have to do, and what we're seeing, is they're having to even push back, you know, remote learning or cancel classes for the day. And for some of these school districts, it's the decision of to pay or not to pay, to not pay. Obviously, you might have to rebuild your servers, which you're going to be down for a bit. And to pay, then you're giving in to the hacker. So it's been a tough decision for some of these school districts.
Well, you're right. I mean, we've been doing these stories for a while now, but never have we focused, as far as I know, on school districts. And when I think about school districts paying a ransom, I have to wonder, you know, like so many school districts across the country, their budgets are stretched thin. It's not like they have a ton of money laying around in most cases. How are they handling that?
And that's the thing, too. Some of them do have cyber insurance, but we're even seeing now where the cyber insurance is not covering everything. That might cover the fees to hire your outside negotiators and your folks that would turn in the ransom money into cryptocurrency. But the cyber insurance is not even enough. So they're going into already squeezed reserve funds, and they're getting the money from there.
Meanwhile, hospitals are also a target of these attacks increasingly. They're underwater in the pandemic. There's fears about the vulnerability of our electrical grids with hackers. Where's all this headed, do you think? What's the end game?
Yeah, you know, I go in the dark web probably every day, and I have seen just so many industries hit. Even today, there was an infant car seat maker hit. I don't know. It's obviously got some attention at the federal level, But a big concern, too, is that there's really no clearinghouse, you know, where everybody's reporting their attacks. So just trying to get your hand around how extreme it is, you know, is difficult in itself.
Tonnell Hobbs, education reporter for The Wall Street Journal. We're going to link you to your story. It's fascinating and frightening. Tonnell, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.